All right, folks, it's Josh Wigler here with a special announcement. You want season 2 of 24 covered on Worst Day Ever? Well, so do we. Here's how we're going to do it. Remember how we unlocked season 1 of 24 on Worst Day Ever? We had that big push. We need 24 patrons to sign up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon. We're going to need to do that again. It's October 2021. This is the 1-year anniversary of the Post Show Recaps Patreon program. As I'm saying these words, we are at 560 patrons of Post Show Recaps. If we boost that number up to 584 and maintain that number going into November, Emily Fox and I will go straight from season 1 of 24 into season 2 of 24. How's that for a deal? You sign up at that $5 level right now and you get access to the Post Show Recaps patron Discord via the campus tour. You get bonus podcasts. You get so much bang for your buck just by signing up to become a patron anyway. And now you've got the added bonus of making it possible for season 2 of 24 to be covered immediately after season 1 is covered here on 24 Worst Day Ever. Talk about a win, win, win. We want your help. Make us do this podcast is basically what we're saying. Give us the 24 patron push and we will do 24 season 2 of Worst Day Ever. We need that by the end of October. If we get 584 patrons by the end of October, we will do season 2 of 24. And what's more, if we cross to 600 patrons of Post Show Recaps, we're going to add some time to the clock. These won't have to be 24-minute episodes of the podcast. We'll boost that clock up. So if you want a longer podcast, if you want to be aspirational, let's get to 600 patrons of Post Show Recaps by the end of October. But what we really need, 584. That's going to be 24 patrons from this moment forward. Let's get that going on. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps at that $5 level. Really easy buy-in. If you want to do a custom pledge, could be as easy as a buck. The choice is yours. Make it happen. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And oh yeah, this following podcast was recorded in real time, something, something, something. I don't know what time we started, but we finished at 8 p.m. Eastern on October 4th, 2021. But the events, they do occur in real time. 24. Well, I don't know how you're doing, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. It's Worst Day Ever, that 24 season 1 recap podcast. I'm Josh Wigler, and I'm joined here by a woman who finally remembers.
Emily. Hello?
Emily Fox.
The car.
It was the car.
My hands are shaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm freaking out, man.
Emily Fox holding a box that says mom. Says,
I think my daughter may have made this for me. Like, come on.
You think? We are talking about the 6 to 7 p.m. hour here on Worst Day Ever dinner time,
yeah.
As Emily said at the start of watching the episode. Which I don't know why that cracked me up, but you go, dinner time. Of course, as I've already mentioned, Emily, I took some time out. I gave everybody the spiel. We get 24 people to sign up for the Post Show Recaps Patreon this month of October, and we will do season 2 of 24, baby!
Woo-woo!
Yeah, we clear 600 people, and we'll even add a little extra time to the clock. That's the stretch goal.
Is that what we're gonna
do? Yeah, that's the stretch goal.
Okay.
So that's the plan on the board. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Just a reminder. We are hyped about the possibility of doing season 2. We just need you to do your part as well. If you're already a patron, tell a friend. Anyway, we gotta talk about the episode, Emily, because the amnesia storyline, it's over.
We have 24 minutes.
We only have 24 minutes.
We have less than that now.
We have less than that now.
Let's go.
We got to get into it.
Yeah.
So 24, and probably like this is like the lightest Bauer hour, at least as far as Jack is concerned. And it's the heaviest like Terry and Kim's storylines suck hour. So I imagine this is like at least this cannot be exceeding an A- for you this episode.
But you know what? It kind of felt like watching an unwrapping video because there was a beautiful gift at the end
the
of
ASMR?
Both of these plots.
Oh, I thought thought it was like maybe like an audio sensory thing that
not necessarily audio, but there was a lot of sense of satisfaction that I got at the end of this episode.
Of course, it's 24. You always get a sense of satisfaction, even when shit hits the fan. I love a lot of this episode.
A lot of the stuff
is really, really stupid, and some of the stuff is really, really fun. We're going to talk about all of it. Let's hop right in. The episode begins with that assassin who's just been like, you know, sort of like...
sitting in the bushes.
He's just been like Wile E. Coyote-ing after the roadrunner that is Terry Bauer, and he's been trying so hard to kill this woman. And like he's got them dead to rights. He's behind Terry Bauer and Dr. Parslow, Phil, as they're entering the Bauer house.
Here's what I don't get. It's 6 o'clock. Everyone's home. No one sees a guy wandering around the property in the front near the street.
No. Everybody's having dinner. They're not looking out the window like that.
I don't know.
And he's about to shoot them. And then they like bust into the house and the alarm goes off. And you have to tolerate like a solid minute of the episode where the alarm is going off. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible. But like the assassin's like...
Very true to life, though, if you don't know the code.
Someone calls. She's panicking. The assassin has this look of exasperation. He says... frustrated with this storyline as we are. The alarm company calls and Terry's like, could you please turn this off? And they're like, what's the password? I don't know. Then we can't turn it off.
Yeah. The first rule about ADT.
We'll just put a pin in what the next scene is because there's one scene in between this. But like back at the Bauer house, eventually like a bunch of security guards will show up and they've got like their guns drawn. They just like throw guns up at Phil and Terry. And they're like, no, we're here. This is our house. She's like, well, I'm going to need to see some identification. He goes into the next room and just Terry Bauer photos everywhere, glamour shots everywhere.
And Terry's like, I don't know who these people are.
Emily, looking at the Bauer house, I'm feeling like we need more glamour shots of the two of us around our home.
I was just thinking if we, A, had a security system.
We need some tasteful glamour shots of the two of us.
Yeah. If anyone ever showed up and was like, we need you to prove your identity, I'd probably be like, I don't know. I like birds.
Should we do a photo shoot?
No.
Let's do a photo shoot with like it's almost fall. I mean, it is fall. It's sweater weather soon.
You
like,
want to do like a picture of one of us throwing a pile of leaves on the other?
Yeah, and I want like a thick sweater with a turtleneck
holding a pumpkin.
Yeah, I think here we owe the people this at the very least. If we fall short of the goal of the threshold,
we're gonna do a glamour shot
of the additional 24 patrons. We will at the very least compensate them with a photo of the two of us holding a pumpkin.
What if we hold Doug, who looks kind of like the color?
We could dress him up
pumpkin.
As a pumpkin. I think that might count.
That's adorable. Lolo could be a witch.
These guys are like, no identity, no ID necessary. Clearly you live here. You just couldn't remember the code because you're an idiot. And so they leave, and the assassin is just like waiting in the wings. Now's your time, man. The assassin really sucks. He wastes so much time, Emily. Doesn't he know what show he's on?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable that he like moved at the speed of, I don't know, ice.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So now let's go to the Jack story. Because the guy in the red hat,
super forgettable.
The guy in the red hat is getting put into a body bag. His name was Alan Morgan. He worked for Pacific Electric in Saugus, California.
I didn't know there was a Saugus, California. There's definitely a Saugus, Massachusetts, so I was really hoping this was going to be a bi-coastal storyline, but it's not.
Probably a bunch of Sauguses out there. Anyone from Saugus, hit us up. Holler at us. We want to know. What's up, our Saugus fam? We're going to need 24 followers from Saugus. Any Saugus will do.
Would you relax?
No, I can't.
Keep going. Go. Okay. Hurry up.
Emily, relax.
I'm not.
I know, me neither. So George Mason shows up, and George Mason is just here to kind of like clown on Jack for the rest of the episode. He's like,
but like some sleek shades he's wearing. Have you noticed those?
Look at you, Jack. There's always a body count everywhere you go. And Jack's like, I didn't want to do it. I told Teddy Hanlon, that idiot, not to do it. And you hear Teddy Hanlon from upstream. Yeah, sorry, Jack. I couldn't help it. I just had to shoot this guy. Mercifully, we never see or hear from Teddy Hanlon
ever
again.
I will say, though, Josh did a Teddy Hanlon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did a Teddy Hanlon impression for Emily for an entire portion of a walk that we were on the other week. I just couldn't help myself. I couldn't stop doing Teddy Hanlon voice the whole time.
Oh my God.
Teddy Hanlon was like made for me as a podcaster. Like that was the reason the character is great. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they said in the writer's room, Josh. They just said that they're going to need an impression to do this guy named Teddy Hanlon. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be here for. RIP Teddy Hanlon. He's effectively dead. We will never see him again. Mm. David Palmer calls Jack. He says, I found the missing Drazen files we've been looking for, and there is an address in Saugus, California. And Jack's like, what's
ding, ding,
up?
Ding. Yeah.
Everything's coming up Saugus. Jack calls Tony, gives him the address, and the address is indeed right where they need to be based on this guy who is going to be shutting off like a power grid in this place. So it's like, okay, let's do this. And George Mason's going to tag along for the ride. Meanwhile, in the Kim storyline, here's Frank. And Frank is an
awful... The dumbest storyline.
This sucks. This is really, really bad. This is not the worst Kim Bauer storyline in the history of 24.
Really?
Yes, correct. And Frank...
That's disappointing. Maybe we rescind our
offer
to do
season two. No, people really want us to get to season two. And
right.
I also really do, too.
I trust you guys.
Let's do this, folks.
But
we can do it.
But if this is not the dumbest plot line for Kim specifically...
It's bad.
Oh, boy. I might have to jump into the B grades.
It's bad. It's bad. We'll see. So Frank... is like, wait, what do you mean Dan's not coming back? And they're like, Dan's dead, man. And Frank nearly throws a lamp, or he does throw a lamp.
Well,
he nearly clobbers
Rick
with a lamp.
He's gonna flip out and kill everybody, but then he kind of just like breaks some
property.
He's
like, well, shit, we're gonna this deal is gonna be bad because we don't have the money. And it's like, this is what you're worried about? You're awful. You're one of the worst people.
And they're
ever.
Like, call the deal off. And he's like, it's too late. And yeah. I would be like, not really.
So the deal is still going to go forward. Meanwhile, back at the Palmer Hotel, they're eating salad very intensely, is what Emily says.
Dinner time.
It's dinner time, as Emily said, in the 6 to 7 range. And you called that some people are going to eat dinner. The Palmers get to eat dinner.
I think about all the things I normally do between all the hours that we've watched so far. And then I apply that to what's happening in real life.
That's going to be a bonus podcast at the end of the season, no matter what. We're going to have a feedback show to wrap this thing up no matter what. So that is on that wrap-up show, faux show. The Palmers are all dragging each other. It's Keith's fault. It's David's fault. It's Sherry's fault. Nicole clearly and reasonably has like a panic attack. She's saying like, this is all my fault. And David, like very sweetly, is like, none of this is your fault. He's like, it's Sherry's fault.
Do you notice that he like puts water on her forehead to like cool her down?
Yeah, he's being very sweet.
But he looks like he's baptizing her. I felt like that was kind of an intense moment.
He's being very, very sweet. Maybe. They do mention the words Dr. Ferragamo again in this scene, so please take a drink, whether that's water or whatever. Jack and George road tripping. George Mason with this great line of, Jack, it never gets dull with you. Jack wants to call his family, and George is like, sorry, I have like wax in my ear. What did you say? Could you say that again? And like, he has this look, and Jack's like, what's up with that look? And George's like, I'm just the most tired I've ever been in my entire life. And Jack goes, tell me about
it. You can't skip dinner.
You can't skip dinner. You just can't do that. Yes. No. Jack and George both produce hot dogs from their sleeves and have a little snack on the road. at the Bauer house, Phil is playing some music to unlock memories for Terry, but this is like back in eighth grade when I played Number 41 by Dave Matthews and made out with the first girl I ever made out with. Like, that's what he's angling for.
Wow.
That's what's going on here. And that's the story of my first kiss, folks. And it worked great. Anyway.
Like after like the drums kicked in where you were like, yeah,
I will go in. Josh Wigg, we're making out. Oh, it was a great time. It was so good.
Is that why you're always like, put this in?
I'm fine, my own. I was like, oh yeah, this is happening. It was so great. Anyway, so so then this guy shows.
I'm gonna have that in the feedback.
Yeah,
show
man.
Too.
I will go in. So he says, like, you wanted to be with me. You were scared. You were scared to lose your family. And she's like, I don't remember any of that, but you're kind of great. And it's like, oh, really? This guy? Meanwhile,
I hate this guy.
Kim wants to run from Frank, but a dude shows up with guns, and Rick's like, wait, what are you going to do? You're going to rip them all off? And then the episode cuts to commercial as Frank takes a shotgun and just, like, holds it up at Rick, and he goes, yeah, beep. Like, that's the way that we cut to commercial, and it's, like, one of my least favorite cuts of the whole show. Huh. We are very close to the conference, and after the infighting between all of the Palmers, Emily, David asks everybody for support. He says, if we love each other and support each other, nothing else is going to matter. And Sherry's extent of support is telling David, I like your tie. How are we feeling about Sherry right now?
Not great.
You're not feeling great about Sherry.
No.
Earlier, I feel like you weren't so mad about Sherry.
No, but like, you know, she's had some missteps. She's made some mistakes. It's not great. I don't know.
Yeah, fair.
Sherry and Terry.
Yeah, that's right.
Both of them.
Terry's looking
Good
through
God.
All of these photos, all these memories. None of it's clicking. Apparently, she worked with someone named Kitty.
That's Very strange.
She worked with someone named Kitty. You don't really meet a lot of people named Kitty anymore.
No. Bring back the name.
Let's bring Kitty back. Yeah. She says, like, I kind of remember air hockey, but I don't remember what my job is.
Oh, my God.
Phil has a guy show up to be, like, the protector. His name is
Chris.
This
makes no sense.
Chris.
Other than, like, it's, like, a great
Chris.
Body to, like, catch a bullet later for him.
Yeah, this dude, Chris, is just going to shock absorb some death. That's literally his role, is to just like be like, hey, I'm here for the death. He shows up with a gun and Tara's like, I don't like guns. And Chris's like, but what do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do? You live in America.
It's like, go outside. And because he goes outside, probably this guy dies. So poor Chris. Chris is going to get shot twice. It's not good.
No.
Phil is like, we need him for protection. Who knows who did this to you? Jack could have been the one.
Yeah, which is not cool.
This is disgusting, this guy Phil. I was a little bit in on Phil, and now I'm out on Phil again.
You were in on Phil?
No, like, I mean, like, when he showed up, like, it wasn't the worst thing, and then he started being like, let me check you out. I was like, oh, this isn't good.
Let me hold your
hand.
And
now he's, like, trying to incept her about all this stuff. It definitely feels creepy. He totally deserves to get shot later in the episode.
For sure.
The assassin is watching outside, and he's on the phone with Andre Dre's and like, there's a problem. There's this dude named Chris here. I'm going to have to kill that guy.
He's about to play number 41.
Yeah, he's about to play number 41 and make out with Terry. David starts giving the speech, and we get like a commercial break within it, but basically like, and like Carl and the Money Men are watching as David like drags them on national television and potentially jeopardizes his own political career. And he's like, I know that this is a possibility, but I'm doing this for my family.
Yeah, and you know what? This feels good.
It does.
It feels like a real load off.
He says, I've misjudged these local businessmen, but more importantly, they've misjudged me. And
yeah.
We slam to commercial. It's like, hell yeah, David Palmer. All we need now is for you to say Dr. Ferragamo. He doesn't say it once during this speech, unfortunately. But he like hypes up Keith. He's like, Keith's prepared to turn himself in. I love my son. I'll stand by him. And don't you dare bring any of the past up with Nicole. She's a victim. Don't you dare spare. Find your humanity, people. Like David is just like speaking to the soul of the nation.
It's so good. It's so
very
good.
Presidential.
Yes.
Really, really great scene.
Perhaps some, I don't know, foreshadowing?
Some foreshadowing. One hopes.
Things to come?
One hopes. Listen, we still have several episodes. And by several episodes, I mean, what, 5, 4, something like that? I can't do math live on a podcast. At CTU, Nina like is like, Tony, what the hell? Terry and Kim are missing? He's like, I know. Oh, God. I've been trying to tell you for hours, but George Mason told me not. Well, you should have told me. I was. It was so awkward. What was I supposed to do? He said, don't do anything. Don't say anything. He said, what am I supposed to do? He's your boss.
Do you think he did tell her and she just didn't hear him?
Yeah, I keep calling you. I leave voice messages. Yeah, it's all static. It's not static. I have a really low voice. I've been telling you for hours. And she's really pissed. She calls George. She's like, George, what the hell? And he's like, uh-huh. Yeah. Because he's with Jack.
Yeah.
He's like, what? What was that? Nothing. And she's like, oh, my God, this is so bad. So Jack and George, they're in this like barren wasteland, middle
little
of nowhere.
About Jack and George.
Jack and George Mason. They're in the middle of nowhere. And like George Mason's like, all right, you know, I haven't really been clued into this. I bet like if there's audience members just joining right now, they could use an update as well. Who is Victor Drazen again? And Jack's like, yeah, he's this horrible guy who's responsible for ethnic cleansing in Bosnia, Sarajevo, and Kosovo, and I killed him. And they're like, oh.
And then he's also like, terrorists.
Terrorists. the Frank deal goes down. Some dude with big curly red hair shows up with like his partner. And
could very much be related to you.
Yeah, he looks like he could be a relative of mine. This is not a bit dragon fruit. He really does. And he shows up and they're like going to sell the E. And then they get like held up with shotguns and stuff. And like it's a big standoff. And once
Kim and Rick are stuck in the middle,
and once Frank has the upper hand, he turns around to Rick and he says, all this because you couldn't keep my brother alive. And then he punches him with the shotgun in the arm where Rick got shot earlier. He punches
Which
him in
sucks.
The bullet hole.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But also, I don't know. All of this is bad.
All of this is bad.
I hate it.
At CTU, Nina is like still trying to figure out where Kim and Terry. And Tony's like, maybe this isn't so bad. Like, we would have heard if they got captured, right? And Nina's like, are you trying to find a silver lining right now? He's like, kind of, yeah. And he's like, I sent people to the house. It's going to be fine. She's like, we're doing everything we can. She goes, are you? And Tony at this point has an idea. Light bulb goes off. He's like, maybe I'm not. Maybe I should do more.
Someone decided to show up for the episode. Yeah. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, Tony's like, maybe I'm the one who has to be an adult now. And so Frank, back at the Frank situation, Dan's brother Frank, these guys are like, are you going to kill us? And Frank goes, yeah, I'll kill you if I ever see you again.
So awful.
And then he hits him in the nose and breaks this dude's nose. And he goes, get that stitched, man. How's that for a nose job? And one of Frank's goons goes, haha, yeah, I like that. That's what he says. He goes, haha, yeah, I like that. Wow. And then the guy who got his nose broken, who looks like he could be my cousin, stands up and goes, hey, Frankie. And then the guy goes, what's that, homie? Because earlier the guy said homie. And so the guy goes, you have the right to remain silent. And Emily Fox goes, whoa. Emily lost it there. Thank you're like, oh, God. Yeah. Because all the cops storm in and they tackle Frank. They kill Frank's friend.
Sweet relief. I tell you.
Frank gets pinned down and they arrest everybody. And this guy goes, we've got a code 4 and I think I've got a broken nose. So they bust this whole situation up. Emily, good news. I'm pretty sure we never see Frank again.
Thank God. I
think
love
if we see Frank again, it's for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, he's getting like, yeah.
This guy
jail.
Is basically done, I'm pretty sure.
I just like that Kim's like, I had nothing to do with it. I'm just here.
She's like, yeah, right, kid. So yeah. Kim's still in trouble, but at least she's out of the Frank house.
Yeah, at least she's like on the map for LAPD.
Yeah.
And
this is good. This is good. It's better this way than where she was.
Yes.
The Palmer press conference ends. He says that he like, you know, like he kind of feels like he's a bad dad. And like, you know, if I can't have my fingers on the pulse of my family, like I understand how like the electorate would lose trust in me. I made a mistake. But just think about this. I'm not the first person in public office to make one. And he drops the mic and walks off. No further questions. And we love that. And so does Keith. At 6:55:30. Keith is there in the kitchen.
30,
waiting for David Palmer. And he says, I love you, Dad. And David Palmer says, I love you, son. And they hug it out. And it's delightful.
I love that.
It's great. We've been talking about Dr. Ferragamo and Carl and all this stupid stuff for so long, but it has a great resolution, like, once the truth comes out.
We just need the Palmer men to heal.
Yeah. Like, we took a long time to get here, but it's once we got here, once we get to this point, like, it's a really great Dennis Haysbert acting scene. He's really good in this episode. Like, David Palmer is, like, on the list of, like, you know, one of the best, like, fictional politicians in, like, in the history of, like, the filmed medium.
I feel great about it.
And, like, a scene like this is why, I think. At Terry's house, there's a tea kettle going off, and Terry Bauer is holding this wacky-ass box that says Mom on it. And she says, I think she made this for me. It's like, yeah, it's a box that says Mom on it, and you're the mom.
Come on.
Obviously.
It's so stupid.
Chris walks in. He's like, can I use the bathroom?
Freaking
Can
Chris.
I please use the bathroom? I gotta go. And she's like, yeah, it's down the hall. Oh, my God. And the assassin shows up and shoots Chris and shoots Phil in the shoulder and then goes up to Chris again and then shoots him in the head.
Yeah.
Poor Chris.
See you, Chris.
No justice for Chris.
No justice for Chris.
I feel bad for Chris.
Well, you know what? This just goes to show it sucks to be friends with Phil.
I think that's right. This dude, the assassin, shows up to Terry and Terry's freaking out and Emily is not loving it. Terry's freaking out. He says, where's your daughter? If you tell me where she is, I'll make this painless for both of you. I promise. Not a great bargain.
No.
She doesn't know anyway. And so he goes, fine. And he's about to shoot her because he's like over this. But then he gets shot because Tony flippin' Almeida decided to do a thing.
It was literally like the best thing that could have happened.
This is the moment that I think like, people like if they haven't turned like in favor of Tony Almeida yet, like this is for sure the moment that not only does Tony show up to save Terry's life, not only does Tony like finally be like, screw George Mason, I'm doing something about this, but Tony Almeida ends the Terry Bauer amnesia storyline. He shows up and Terry remembers everything now. She remembers the car. And Tony's like even a little bit rude to Terry after he kills this guy.
Which is amazing.
He goes, Terry, step away. Terry, step away, please. He raises his voice.
Well, I made a joke. I was like, Josh, he's going to walk in here. Like he walked in, he shot the bad guy and then like ripped his soul patch off and was like, I'm done.
This is one of my very favorite moments in the first season of 24 is Tony Almeida and showing up and stopping the amnesia storyline. This is terrible, okay? And he just ends it. And so he has saved Terry, and Terry is at least right now out of danger. Very good news. We Thank love this.
God.
David Palmer returns upstairs, gets a hug from Nicole, not from Sherry. Sherry walks Ooh. Away. Salty. The episode ends with Jack Bauer and George Mason standing in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere. They're like, this can't be the right place. And a helicopter shows up. A dun dun dun. What does that mean? We'll find out next week when we return for another episode of Worst Day Ever. Letter grade, Emily Fox.
I would give this a solid A.
Is it what saves it from the surge of minuses recently?
Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you love Tony Almeida?
I do.
Isn't he the best?
I do.
God, I love Tony Almeida.
Yeah, he's the best.
All right, we'll find out what happens next. Hour 20 coming your way. That means we can go off the clock. We'll see how much we go off the clock because we've been going off the clock a lot recently. So
30 seconds, MacGruber.
30 seconds, MacGruber. We're going to wrap it up here. Remember, you sign up for that post-show recaps Patreon program. We need 24 volunteers as tribute, and we will do season 2 of 24 as soon as season 1 is done. We'll hop right back into it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level that you are comfortable with. We need 24 volunteers by the end of October, and it will be done. We will be back next week with another episode of Worst Day Ever. Anything else, Emily Fox?
No, that's it. Let's wrap.
All right. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Let's make it happen. See you next week. Bye. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.